Election College, episode number 287, the Supreme Court, and, well, history stuff.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Jason, normally we talk about history, and we're going to keep talking about history. Well, most of the time.
Okay.
But lately, if you're at all cognizant of the internet or the television or the newspaper, whatever it is.
What's a newspaper?
That, someday I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
When you're older.
Thanks.
You probably have heard something or another about the Supreme Court lately and some confirmation hearings. So we're going to kind of give you some backstory.
Can I go dun-dun every time?
I think you should.
Okay.
I think it's a good precedent for the show to have.
Dun-dun.
But you're not going to hear anything juicy or too current day here. We're a history show, like I said.
Yeah, and Ben, I was reminded just now of the fact that the last time we did a Supreme Court episode, I talked about Judge Wapner.
Yeah.
He was alive,
mm-hmm.
And now he's not.
Now he is no longer alive.
Buzzkill.
Thanks for that. So, Jason, why do we have a Supreme Court?
Well, that's a very good question, because like when it all started...
Mm-hmm.
They weren't very influential or anything, but the writers of the Constitution, they're like, yep, let's give this article to some Supreme Courtage. And that's exactly what they did. They said, hey, President of the United States, you are going to nominate Supreme Court justices. And hey, Senate, you're going to, confirm these people before they're appointed. So there's a little bit of a check and balance there going on.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll get into, or maybe we won't, but you can figure out what kind of a check and balance there is when things become polarized, no matter which side it becomes polarized to. But the idea was that they would have some checks and balances there. And like Jason mentioned, the Supreme Court, we see them
dun,
now.
Dun. Oh, sorry.
We see them now as having the justices having a lot more power, or a lot of power, and that can be debated whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing. But we can all agree that when it started out, they didn't really have all that much power to influence like everything.
Yeah, now it's a big deal. Like, when you win the presidential election, Ben, you're gonna. Yeah, I don't think you're going to win the presidential election.
I'm probably not going to run, so it's going to be hard to win.
Yeah. Maybe you'll be appointed president, and then you can... Well, no, that's not going to happen. But let's say you, faithful Election College listener, you run for president, and you have a staff, and you're elected, and one of the first things that happens with your staff is like, hey, this is great. We're going to have a little bit of a legacy here, because, let's face it, Supreme Court nominee... if they become a justice, then they're in it for life. And that's really the way that you as a president can continue your legacy for better or worse. And your staff is saying, okay, who are we going to have fill this role? And, you know, they'll look at people who are well known. And then they're going to look at some people who are not so well known. And, you know, a lot goes into deciding who are going to be like the top picks for that.
Right.
I mean, it could be dozens of people, or it could be like five people.
Yeah. And
dun, dun.
It's really interesting because the president also nominates people from, or for other judge seats besides just the Supreme Court. So, you know, the federal judge seats, the president nominates those people. So there's a lot of power resting in the decision of the president and the confirmation by the Senate to really influence how things go all across the country, let alone just in the Supreme Court. But this episode is about the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, like, gets asked at this point. Used to, it was like they had a very short session, and sometimes they would even quit early and, like, go back to their other jobs because they didn't have enough cases to hear.
Yeah.
Now, enough cases get up to the Supreme Court that it's like over 7,000 cases are pitched to them, basically, and they take maybe 100 of them a year. They're working all the time, but they're not hearing cases all the time.
Can you imagine judging all that much? Be like, you're so judgmental.
You're so judgy.
Dun, dun. And then, you know.
Some people have turned off the podcast at this point.
I'm sure they have.
I haven't, though.
It gets me every listening. Gets me every time when somebody says, I've been binge listening to Election College. I'm like, wow, I would be sick of me. But anyway, yeah, there's all kinds of things that go into the confirmation process. It used to be that, you know, the president said, hey, this sounds good. And the senators would lobby the president and they would say, hey, buddy, president, nominate this person. And then the president would go, okay. And then, you know, most of the time the people were confirmed. But now it's kind of one of those things that's like really tripped out.
Yeah.
It takes forever. And that could be because, you know, we've been talking about how early on it wasn't that, you know, the court wasn't that busy. And a lot has to do with the fact that people, mainly the people in government, don't realize what the original intent was. And the original intent was, hey, you can overthrow your government every 2 years.
Yeah, how about that? That doesn't happen.
It's kind of lopsided, isn't it? When you think about it, because who in the government has very little to say about what goes on with the Supreme Court? The House.
Right.
It's all about the Senate and the president, and the House is over there going, hey, elect this person or confirm this person because we can always have him be impeached.
Yeah.
Him or her.
Him or her. He or she.
Yes.
It was a long time before there was a she on the Supreme Court.
Dude. Or dudette.
Man. Is dude gender neutral?
I like to think so. Okay. Like, hey, guys.
I suppose it depends on the person you're addressing, what they prefer.
But, yeah. Madam. I don't know.
Justice.
Yes, Madam Justice. Anyway. The Judicial Committee in the Senate, they get together and they're like, hey, we're going to interview you. And this really became a thing in the 1920s. And
let's just stop there for a second. That's crazy. The Supreme Court has been around as long as our country, which still, in the scheme of the world, is not that long. Mm-hmm. But it's only been less than 100 years that committee actually started interviewing people face-to-face.
Yeah.
Nuts.
I know. And it all had to do with the people out west, the senators from out west. They were like, guys, wait a second. Why are you nominating all these people from the East Coast? We want to be represented in the Supreme Court. Dun, dun.
Dun, dun.
And so what they ended up doing is grill Harlan Fisk Stone in 1925. And all of these Western senators were like, hey, this guy, he's a money-grubbing Wall Street, you know, guy, dude. And that's what interest he's going to serve. And so he appears before the Judiciary Committee. And the committee's like, all right.
Yeah. Well, not only did he appear, he proposed the idea of him appearing.
Dun, dun.
Because he wanted them to all to be comfortable with him being confirmed. So he said, sure. Hey, how about you? How about I come in? And they're like, we didn't think we'd have to look at you.
Yeah. So the next nominee to appear before the committee was Felix Frankfurter. Did I ever tell you about Frankfurters? I don't think so. I'm from Kentucky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm from down the road.
That's right.
I'm from Pennsylvania right now.
Well, you live down the road. You're not from down the road.
Oh, yeah. I guess I will always be from Kentucky.
That's right.
Anyway, the capital of Kentucky is Frankfort, right?
Uh-huh.
And in elementary school, it was on one of those little, you remember the Ditto sheets? No, you're too young. Did you have Ditto?
No.
Ditto? Oh, man.
I didn't have them.
Oh, man, you're so young. Anyway, those of you who are going to, you know, feel nostalgic over the Ditto machine, there was this worksheet, And it said something about a Frankfurter. And I go to the teacher, hey, what's a Frankfurter? And the teacher goes, what do you think it is? And I go, person from Frankfurt. And she laughed at me.
Wow. How rude.
I didn't know a Frankfurter was like a hot dog.
I don't think there's any reason you could have.
Or a Supreme Court nominee.
That's right.
So, yeah, Felix Frankfurter. He appears before the committee because there's some alleged misconduct.
Yeah. Some slanderous things said about him.
Bad things going on. And he goes and says, hey, I'm innocent.
The really until 1955, whenever John Marshall Harlan II comes in as a nominee, they don't really start interviewing everybody until that point. And this is right after the Brown versus Board of Education decision, which hopefully you know what that is. If not,
go to school.
Go get some history.
Yeah.
That's totally a topic for another day. But people were really concerned about it. And, of course, they were concerned about the makeup of the Supreme Court. So some senators from the South decided that they wanted to block his nomination. So they said, okay, look, everybody's testifying from now on. That's it. So once, what happens, Jason, after this committee of how many people are on there? 15? Or it feels like 400 when you're watching the nomination.
It feels like 400 people, like in a 12 square foot room.
I think we didn't see that room, but we saw a room at the Capitol that's very similar in size. And I'm just like, how do you fit so many people in that little tiny room? It looks big on looks decent sized on TV. Yeah. But it's not.
It's not.
Yeah. Okay, so after all those 400 people inside that little tiny room...
I don't know how many people there are.
...get done, what happens to the nominee?
they take a breath of fresh air. They go outside and they go... And they see the poor, you know, the bill that becomes a law in Schoolhouse Rock. They see him.
Oh, no.
And they're like, oh, hey, Bill, how's it going? I'm trying to get confirmed. And I just made it out of Judicial Committee. And, yeah, it goes to the full Senate. And it only takes a majority of the senators. So that's pretty important to make sure your political party has the majority in the Senate, because that's how your Supreme Court people are going to get selected. And, you know, that happens.
Want to get smarter about investing? Then tune in to the Capital Ideas podcast from Capital Group, home of American Funds Distributors, Inc., one of the world's leading asset managers. Each week, we bring you stock market outlooks, macroeconomic updates, and investment strategies that can help you succeed. Learn from portfolio managers with decades of experience about how they navigate uncertain markets. Prepare to be engaged, enlightened, and entertained by listening to the Capital Ideas podcast today.
In the case of Robert Bork, he goes before the full Senate in 1987, and the Senate says, nope.
Yeah, that's a problem. Not a problem, but a problem for him. A problem for the process, because, you know, you imagine, you would hope, that the president has invested significant time into choosing someone, and the Senate says, no, you got to start over. And basically what you're saying is, the person I thought was best is not going to get the job.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you're always right that it's the best, but it's interesting.
Yeah, your last name becomes a verb, so to be borked is to go before the Senate. They shut you down, and then President Reagan's like, oh, crap. What am I going to do now? But yeah, back to history.
That is history.
I guess it is now, isn't it? So it's possible that you won't even make it out of committee. Like, do you remember back in 2006, Harriet Myers, President Bush, yep. George W. Bush says, hey, Harriet, get out of the White House, go and become a justice, and doesn't even make it out of committee.
Yeah, it's pretty, I don't know, that's a pretty damaging ego blast, I would think, to not even be able to get a vote.
Yeah.
Basically. But alas. Ronald Reagan actually withdrew a nomination in the 80s because there were some allegations concerning marijuana usage by the Douglas Ginsburg. So they can also be withdrawn before they ever make it. They can be turned down in committee. They can be turned down on the floor. They can refuse. George Washington himself, who got to pick the entire first Supreme Court lineup, got turned down multiple times by people who just were like, "That doesn't really seem that interesting. Sorry, I don't. Oh yeah, sure, George. Someday this will be a big thing, but right now it's not."
Yeah, I don't know. The whole lifetime appointment thing is kind of telling.
Yeah,
because they were never intended to be that powerful.
Right.
So. When, you know, Washington, Adams, and Jefferson, and Madison, all those guys were hanging out in the White House, the Supreme Court was just, it was there. And kind of what happened is, over the decades, the Supreme Court became much more of a political thing. So the ideologies became more political instead of, well, what does the, how do we interpret this law? And, yeah, like I said earlier, Congress, the House, it's their job to make the laws. It's the Supreme Court's job to interpret what the House has said. And if you don't like what the Supreme Court's interpretation of the law is, then you go back to the House and they change the laws. Makes sense to me.
At least that's the way it should work.
We think so.
Yeah.
I think everybody can agree about
that. Yeah, I think so. So the other way that, what can happen to a nominee, okay, so the obvious one is they get passed through committee, they go to the floor, they get voted in. The other thing is that if a nominee is not discussed or not acted upon by the Senate, by the end of the term, nothing happens. The nomination just gets shut down. And you remember, this has happened many times, but most recently you'll probably remember when President Obama nominated Merrick Garland when Justice Scalia passed away. And basically you have this individual who, by all accounts, is qualified, but there was a new president coming in. So the Senate, who was majority Republican, says, no, we want to make sure we have our guy in, which is an understandable position from either side. Either side would have done the same thing.
Exactly.
And the problem is we have sides. That's the problem. But so that individual doesn't even get to see anything. They don't get any hearings. They don't get through committee. They don't go to the floor. And then a new nominee is brought in after that. So that's... whether or not they'd make a good justice, that's got to be heartbreaking for anybody, because these individuals are not just some Joe Schmoes typically they pull off the street. These are like people who have worked their whole lives at being judges, and basically they're groomed for the position almost.
Which is really weird, because there is no, like, qualification
right.
to be a Supreme Court justice.
Exactly.
You can totally be yanked off the street and be like, hey,
right.
that would actually make a good movie.
It really
That'd
would.
Be like King Ralph, except you could just pull anybody off.
Give me a second here. Hey, Warner Brothers, I got a pitch for you.
I know. They should call it Justice of the Supreme Kind.
So anyway.
Yeah.
That's how that works. That's how the confirmation process works. That's how the nomination process works. And then, you know, there's a whole other episode we could do. A whole other? Did I say a whole other?
I hope you said whole other, not another.
Whole nother? Whole other?
Whole other.
A whole other episode we could do. Multiple episodes about what the Supreme Court does and why it's important and maybe why they do too much and why they don't do enough. And there's just a lot of stuff we could discuss. But this is about kind of the history and the way it works. We're not how stuff works, but... this time we're kind of how stuff works.
Man. I guess so.
I guess so.
Well, I guess if we were how stuff works, it'd be like how... Well, I guess that's what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, hey, if you...
Oh, man, I really hope they didn't do an episode about this and I didn't see it recently.
Oh, man. They might have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sorry, guys.
I haven't been listening to a lot of podcasts lately, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, life is starting to settle in. A little bit, in the RV. And, you know, I think I'm ready to start listening to podcasts again. So if you have any good recommendations as we go towards the fourth quarter of 2018, pass them along. Let us know on Twitter. And while you're on the internet, you might perhaps want to join other of your fellow Election College listeners by joining our group. If you go to electioncollege.com/group, you will be ushered into the presence of Facebook, where you may not have that much of a private life being on Facebook, but whose life is really private. And you can, you know, answer a few questions and join us there.
Yeah, we would love it. And we would just really like to hang out with you in virtual land. Is anybody ever not on the internet at this point?
Some people are. Oh, okay. We're at the campground. I'm kind of off the internet.
Oh, that's true. Okay. But you still have your phone.
Yeah, but it barely works.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's crazy. Case, you're off the grid, man.
You kind of live off in the country a little bit.
Yeah. Kind of.
A little bit. Yeah. A little sort of.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.